Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman. And I am The Watchman. And we have another fascinating subject to speak about today, regarding the world in which we live, in respect to the times that we live in and these particular times, because we believe we are the generation that will see the coming of the Lord. And we believe that with a reason, because the Lord Jesus Christ, in that famous prophecy chapter of Matthew 24, spoke about the events that will precede his coming. And then he carried on to say that the generation that sees the unfolding of these events will see the coming of the Lord. And we've been through quite a bit of study, and by now you should know that we are living in very interesting times. Interesting is the word, not scaring, nothing for us to be scared about. We are living in interesting times, and we are blessed to be alive at this, as such a time as this. So we've been talking about in the past lessons about the 7 years, which are called the tribulation, the first 3.5 called the tribulation, the next 3.5 called the great tribulation. I spoke about what to expect in the first 3.5 years, all the things that we expect from scripture. Now it's important for us to know that the rapture is going to be an inclusive event. We are not teaching that it's something excluded, where God wants or desires to leave people behind. Actually, he doesn't. Now, one of the things I told you that is going to happen in the first 3.5 years of the church is that it is going to be a very prosperous church. Why is that? Actually, because there's going to, it will be necessary to carry out the final harvest and bring in as many souls as people as possible, rather, before the coming of the Lord, because the Lord wants as many people as possible to be saved. And not just that, but actually, it's, if you look at some of the parallels from the book of Genesis, you'll see that there are some people who will not understand the gospel, because they are so they think so carnally that the language, a lot of the language they really understand, is the language of money. So if somebody will not listen to you, if you're, you know, preaching to them the gospel, and because you're poor, then well, when the church is prosperous, some people will understand it better just because they see prosperity. Now that is going to include quite a number of people, because the thing is that the Lord wants as many people as possible to believe. Now the time is coming where it will become impossible for somebody to say they do not believe in God. They will either deny him or accept him. There will be no space for saying we do not believe, we've not seen his working and things like that, because we'll get into a time of when the church is so strong at that time. Remember, I read a scripture from Zechariah 10, which says the weakest among them will be like David, and the strongest will be like God. Talking about the end time church, where the weakest will actually be as strong as David, who killed Goliath, and that's the weakest. So when the church is so strong, and Daniel 12 says that but those who know their God will do exploits. So it will be such a time of reckoning, and we are getting into that time right about now, and it will be such a time of great reckoning, so that people cannot deny God. They can only reject him. Of course, so many will reject him, but they will not be able to deny him. But they will have a choice between believing in a God whom they see at work and rejecting him, because they have loved the wages of unrighteousness, like Jesus says in John chapter 3. So now when that time comes, then when the rapture comes and people are left behind, and it will not be because they of any other reason apart from the fact that they actually did reject God. Now of course there's a lot of undercurrent building, preparing people for such a time as that, when it will be easy for people to reject God. We spoke about the mystery of lawlessness a while back, and I told you how it works. I told you that the Bible predicts that it will reach a peak towards the coming, and it's more or less similar, because before the coming of Jesus Christ, God sent John the Baptist, who had the spirit of Elijah, to come and prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of the Messiah, that is, before Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem. Now, before the Antichrist comes, there is that mystery of lawlessness spoken about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and also spoken about in Daniel 8:23, which says, when the transgressors have come to their fullness, and when sin has reached a peak, then it says, then a king of sinister schemes will be revealed, talking about the Antichrist. So, of course, he comes on a wave of lawlessness, or a wave of antipathy against God, a time when people do not want to hear anything to do with God. I told you how lawlessness is about people not wanting to account for anything, and it's gone deep. Now, today I'm going to talk about something different, and I'll tell you what I have from you, from God, fresh at the end of the program. But now we're going to study a bit of some of the things, the undercurrents that are going on, affecting the society that we live in, so that you understand where they come from, so that when the proposition is made to you to believe in some of the things that are being promoted as modern, as cool, as acceptable, as lovely, you know, things for which so many unstudied young men are falling for, because they are presented as desirable things by different people. So that when you know this, and these things are presented to you, you will know where they come from, and so you will find it easier to refuse them and deny them and follow Christ. Now, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, that the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. The whole world is under the sway of the evil one, of the devil. Now, it's talking about the whole world, okay? The whole world. Now, of course, Jesus said, you are in the world, talking about his disciples at the time of who? You and I as well, that you are in the world, but you are not of the world. But the whole world, that is those who are not in Christ Jesus, are under the sway of the devil. It doesn't matter how good they look, how nice a character they have. The Bible says, 1 John 5:19, the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And if they do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at some stage, it will become easy for them to believe a lie. And actually, Romans chapter 1 and 2 talks about, because they refuse to believe the truth, God sent them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Okay, so now we have a chance to believe the truth, and we ought all to believe the truth and come out of the sway, or under the, or come out of the influence of the evil one, and come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just going to tell you about three groups of people who work together so immaculately to create this mystery of lawlessness. Of course, these are Satanist secret groups. At some stage they were secret, but now they are very known, and known to most people. And I'm just going to discuss them here so that you can think about it, consider them, and maybe go and actually do some research about them and get some information yourself, because none of the information here that I give is exclusive. You can find it. You can find it in various places, reading various books. Now, there's a book by a man called Daniel Estulin. The book is called The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. Now, the Bilderberg Group are a group of very influential, very rich, influential, and people who have influence. I mean, who are running all sorts of business conglomerates that influence opinion, that meet every year, and they are called the Bilderbergs. The reason they call them the Bilderbergs, and Bilderberg is Bilderberg. The reason they are called the Bilderberg Group is because they met for the first time in 1954 in the Netherlands, in a city called Oosterbeek, and the hotel in which they first gathered was called Hotel de Bilderberg. So it probably was just one of those meetings by people who have influence, and it grew into something big, and now is an annual meeting of influential people. But they don't just meet and have coffee or have tea and, you know, have a nice time. It's a lot more important than that. for the subject of this study. Now, this gentleman called Daniel Estulin published a book in 2005 after so many years of study about this Bilderberg group. And he actually updated the book in 2009. And he states that in 1954, the most powerful men in the world met for the first time in Oosterbeek, Netherlands, and debated the future of the world. And they decided that they should meet annually in secret. Now, they call themselves the Bilderberg Group, with a membership representing a who is who of world power elites, mostly from America, Canada, Western Europe. Of course, now there are so many others who are included, from China, from Japan, and from much of the bigger Eastern world. These are people who control politics, finance, media. Okay, they control newspapers, television, radio. These are people who control Hollywood, who own those studios that produce movies. Now they also include people who control social media, and also various think tanks, world think tanks. Think tanks are, you know what think tanks are, I'm not going to explain what they are. They include some of the people there. The think tanks are groups of people who think for, supposedly for a nation. So they sit down and debate things and pass them on as solutions to the nation, but mostly for these guys in particular, to the world. Now, some of the people, the mainstays, the originals, the original members of the Bilderberg Group include members of the Rockefeller family, particularly David Rockefeller, the original Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger. I'm sure you've heard about that name, former Secretary of State of the United States, Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch is the owner of Biscay B and probably has the world's biggest media conglomerate, owning newspapers, radios, televisions, and movie studios from America to England to Australia. Very Biscay B and all that. You probably heard about Rupert Murdoch when he had to close the News of the World, one of his main newspapers in the UK. So they always were represented. Our top figures from the Council on Foreign Relations are a very important group of people for the purpose of what we are talking about, and you know that later. The IMF, International Monetary Fund, of course, the World Bank, and the Trilateral Commission, the European Union, and all the powerful central banks, from the Federal Reserve, the ECBs, the Bank of England, and all the big central banks, all of them were represented. Now, whatever its earlier mission, the group now calls itself a world shadow government, and they want to supplant, according to their own statement, they want to supplant individual nation state sovereignty and replace it with an all-powerful global government, corporate controlled and checkmated by militarized effort. So they want to control the government, that is politics. They want to control corporate affairs, that is commerce. And they also want to control the military. Of course, that means they want to control the world. And you know that the Bible talks about a coming one world government. Now, these are the foundations thereof. Now, early in its history, the Bilderberg decided that they are going to create an aristocracy of purpose. Their work is to sit there and determine the purpose for all the world. They have control over everything that matters. They have control over, over universities. They have control over media, all media houses, big media houses. That is, they have control over the movies. They have control over commerce, banks, and everything. And so they say that they create an aristocracy of purpose. So along with military dominance and controlling the world's money, it's crucial for them when it comes to absolute control, as the powerful knight. The most important control, of course, they are looking after is money, And the 19th century patriarch Amschel Rothschild, one of the people on whom the modern America was built, really, made this famous statement, and it's quoted quite a number of times. He said, "Give me the control of a nation's money, and I do not care who makes its laws." Because, of course, ultimately, they knew that world politics later on is going to be governed by money. Whichever nation has more money to dispense of is going to be in control. And whichever people have more money will be able to determine the fate of the lesser people. So the Bilderbergs comprise the world's most exclusive club, and no one can buy their way in. The club has a steering committee which decides whom to invite. Every year, even if they have an original membership of 80, every year they decide whom they are going to invite, and they invite people on the basis of what you can offer. The membership consists of annual attendees, around 80 of the most powerful men in the world, and others invited occasionally because of their knowledge or their involvement in relevant topics. Those most valued are asked back if you come and present to them something which they think is of benefit to the future of the group and what they are planning. They call you back, and first timers are chosen for their possible usefulness. But some of them, however, stay within the group. Some of them just come to present to the group, and then they are given instructions and then they leave. One such person, somebody whom all of you I'm sure would have heard about, is somebody who was the governor of Arkansas in the United States, called Bill Clinton, who attended the Bilderberg meeting in 1991. And while at the meeting, David Rockefeller told him why North America Free Trade Agreement was a big priority for the Bilderberg group, and they needed him to support it. Of course, Clinton knew that if he agreed to support that, then they will support his candidature. And since they own the media, that is a big plus. So the following year, Clinton was elected as president in 1992, you remember, and started his presidency in 1993, okay, and January 1993. And in January 1994, the North American Free Trade Agreement, which he had vowed to support, took effect, okay? Now, there are so many other people who have to attend. Of course, one of them was Barack Obama, and some of the things that you see him fronting right now, homosexuality, emasculating Israel, are things that he had to promise these people for them to give him their support for the candidature. So somebody comes there and he starts promoting something, and you might believe it's his thing, but sometimes those people have their hands tied by vows they made earlier on. And of course, these people are so powerful, they can pull strings even if you're already there, even if you're already in the seat. And some of the more recent, the story in The Guardian spoke about some of the people whom they saw coming out of one of the, not latest really, but around 2008 Bilderberg meetings. Remember, they meet every year. Some of them are Jeff Bezos, the founder and CEO of Amazon.com, Chris Hughes and Mark Zuckerberg, the co-founders of Facebook, Eric Schmidt, the executive director of Google, Craig Mundy, the chief research and strategy officer at Microsoft Corporation, and Reid Hoffman, co-founder and executive chairman of LinkedIn. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is these were people who were originally invited because of what they've done. For instance, these guys of Facebook. Facebook wasn't there when the Bilderbergs started, but because, of course, they realize how powerful a tool it can be in promoting quite a number of things and in making them achieve their purpose. So they invite these people, and they add them to whatever it is that they are plotting, and that you know that a bit later in this show. Now, the group's grand design, according to this gentleman, the gentleman whom I told you about, Daniel Estulin, the guy who wrote the book after 14 years of research, their design is for one world government, a world company, so to speak, with a single global marketplace, policed by one world army, and financially regulated by one world central bank, using one global currency. Now, all this 1-1-1, this globalization, and what is all predicted, or rather prophesied, not predicted, that is the wrong word, prophesied, the difference is so big between predicted and prophesied, because prophesied in the Bible means it will definitely come to pass, okay? In, of course, Revelations 13:1, when it talks about Revelations 13, the whole chapter talks about a one world government, talks about a one world religious system, and talks about a one world economic system. All of Revelations 13 talks about that. Now, one of their main tools of achieving what they want is centralized control of the world population using mind control. In other words, controlling the world's public opinion. Now, this is something that so many people are going to fall prey to, unfortunately. But of course, I do hope that anybody listening to this does not fall. Now, these people understand the way the human mind works. So what they do is they go and come up with messages which they have tailor-made to change people's opinions towards certain things, towards certain ideas that they are bringing. So they go and tailor-make those messages, and then after a lot of study and research, and then they do focus group discussions and present these things to a small group of people to see how those people receive it. Now, after they've studied these messages, then they release them to the public. Now, after a while, then they go and do opinion polls and see how well their messages have been received. They know how to target people. They know which channels to use, which medium to use, and how to present them in a way that they are acceptable to people. Now, some of them might look like revolutionary at the start, but after a while of these people passing on, you know, tidbits of what they want you to believe, after a while and after a lot of exposure and a lot of exposure, you find that actually so many people start believing that, and they don't even know how they went there. They don't even know how they got there. Okay, so they just find themselves in that position, and they have been victims of a sustained, slow and very subtle but sustained campaign to change their mind over given things. Now, these people believe, and they have several colleges that are studying the science of mind control, and they are trying to change the minds of people to suit their lawlessness, to suit what they call the one world order, so that people can believe whatever these people want them to believe. Now, the former president of CBS News, one of the biggest news channels in the USA, a man called Richard Sallant, explained the major role of the media as he saw it. Now, listen to this, it's very important. He said, and I quote, "Our job is to give people not what they want, but what we decide they ought to have." Okay? So it is a way that the news that you see on these big media channels is not necessarily what you want to hear, but what they want you to hear, what they've decided you should hear. Okay, so they present it in a way that they want you to hear it. Now, if you want to know how much deception is in the news channels, you only have to have listened to CNN's coverage of Uganda's past signing of the anti-homosexuality bill. Now, Christian Amanpo on CNN was vociferous and said how people were being killed on the streets of Kampala for being homosexuals, and they created an impression of policemen going from house to house hunting out suspected homosexuals and basically killing them with machetes. It was a very grim picture, but it was presented in a very believable way that if I did not live in Kampala City that they were talking about, I would believe it. But you see, so many people do not live in Kampala City, so they actually believed the lie, and it was all lies. It was lies from beginning to end. Then they are quoting some lesbian woman claiming that she's hiding under her bed because she's fearing this apparent brigade of anti-homosexuality policy. It was all lies, and those channels present agenda more than news. Now, the news, you have to look beyond the news to know what is happening in the world. You have to look to the agendas. And of course, a lot of experience of mine in the media has taught me about agendas. Because the news, imagine how powerful newspapers are. Maybe something is happening right now in Bolivia that is so important, but you will not know about it until CNN decide to cover it. So do you see how powerful they are? Because if they do not cover it, since you are not there, or maybe something powerful, if there's an earthquake in China and nobody covers it, you will never know about it, even if it kills 5,000 people, or even 50,000 people for that matter. Now, they are the ones who decide what you should know, okay? And they do it, and that power is not innocent. They have not used it innocently, like some people believe. So what makes certain things news and others not news? What makes what's happening in Zimbabwe news, Mugabe and all, and what's happening somewhere else not news? Who decides all these things? And of course, the powers are much bigger than the actual, even journalists who cover them. because the journalists are just given a picture of what they should portray. So this man said, and I quote that statement again, our job is to give the people not what they want, but what we decide they ought to have. Okay? So now you should know that about the news, and especially these world news channels. They are all on agenda. They set an agenda and they pursue it. Why did they cover the signing of anti-homosexuality bill like that? Because of agenda. Of course, they have an agenda to promote that, and so they will try to make it look like it's the most unreasonable thing. Why Uganda? Why don't they say? Why didn't they say? Only one country in Africa, by the way, South Africa, takes homosexuality to be legal. All the other countries in Africa, we're talking about 49, do not consider it to be normal, and 38 of them have big jail sentences for practitioners of it. So why was Uganda so important? Well, you're going to have to ask CNN. If 38 countries have the same laws, and ours are not even the toughest, there are others that are tougher than that. Why was ours so important? Well, you're going to have to ask them. But I just want you to understand that media equals agenda. Just know what agenda are they pursuing. So when you're covering, or rather when you're watching the coverage of the crisis in Crimea and Russia and Ukraine versus NATO and America on the other side, just know that the truth is nowhere anywhere on that screen. There is no the truth is probably 20%. The rest is agenda. Now take it from me. So these media, why do they do that? They do that because they are trying to control the way the world thinks. Mind control, a major aspect of what these people do and what they plan to do. So these media giants control everything in the world. They control everything the world sees, hears, and reads. They own televisions, they own radio, newspapers, magazines, books, films, okay? Large portions of the internet. Their top officials and some journalists are invited to attend the Bilderberg meetings, but on condition that they report nothing. Now, here is the point. They want to dominate everything, including movies and Hollywood, to the point that, and it's amazing how they suck so many people in. When Mel Gibson was once a star of Hollywood, acting all the many blockbuster movies and all that, he seemed to never run out of big movies to act, and from all some of his best movies and everything. Then one day he decides he wants to act The Passion of the Christ. All the television, or rather all the movie companies, refused to fund it because they said it would not sell. They said that nobody wants to hear a story about Jesus, it's old, nobody cares about it. Some of them were a little bit more polite. They said nobody wants to, there's no tension because everybody knows what happens at the end, that Jesus is killed. So where is the tension? Because movies, people watch them because of the tension building towards the end that the viewers do not know. So since the viewers knew about this and also they refused to fund it. So what did Mel Gibson do? He got $30 million of his own money and funded The Passion of the Christ. And how did the people react? It grossed the biggest money of all movies done that year, and actually so many other years, and probably is one of the top 10 of the best grossing movies in terms of movies that made money. Actually, I think in the first 2 weeks, he had already made $1 billion after he had spent on the $30 million. Well, but you see, these Satanists in Hollywood don't take it that lightly. After that, stories started coming. Mel Gibson beats his wife. He's an anti-Semitic. That means he hates Israel and the Jews and all those things. What did they do? They destroyed his career. But of course, they will sell to you because he's a bad guy. But he became a bad guy because he acted a movie about Christ. A movie that people watched and actually gave their lives to Christ. Now, the whole of Hollywood turned against him because they don't want to be promoting the message of Christ. They are promoting other messages. You know what they are promoting, all of you know. So when one person stands up and promotes Christ, shows Christ crucified, and shows a movie that brought so many people to believe in the Lord when they watched the movie. I watched it here in Kampala, and there was an altar call, and people came and gave their lives to Christ. Now that is not what those people want. So anyway, they destroyed this. Now, I'm trying to show you how much they want to control. So they could, magazines, films, and internet, okay? So the Bilderberg Rockefeller scheme, because Rockefeller is one of the big guys there, is to make views, to make their views so appealing, I'm quoting here, I start the quote, so appealing by camouflaging them that they make, that they become public policy and can pressure world leaders into submitting to the needs of the masters of the universe. That's what they call themselves, the masters of the universe. What does the Bible say? The whole world is under the sway of the evil one. Of course, these people are just his generals. I'll quote that again. They make their messages so appealing by camouflaging them that they become public policy and can pressure world leaders into submitting to the needs of the masters of the universe. This is how they got Europe to accept, entirely accept homosexuality. Just 20 years ago, how many homosexuals were considered disgusting there as much as here? But now these people present their messages slow and slow. So now somebody asked me, who is the end beneficiary? These people, of course, the end beneficiary is the devil. But these people work immediately under him, and they are promoting messages that are of interest to him to create a world of lawlessness, which they call the New World Order, which is going to be the platform on which the Antichrist will come. And so here is how they do. And speaking to the Bilderberg Group meeting in 1992, Henry Kissinger, former U.S. Secretary of State, said, today, America, that is 1992, today America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all people of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. Individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. Now, what he's saying, of course, that's a bit of a mouthful, but what he's saying is right now, in 1992, Americans would not tolerate UN troops coming to Los Angeles, but he said, give them time. After some time, they will be pleading with us to come. He says, how do we get there? We present a threat, whether it's real or imagined or what he called promulgated, and threaten their existence and tell them that things are bad and create a grim picture. And afterwards, they will come to us begging us to save them from this evil. Does that sound familiar? Of course it does. There are so many things that have happened that have been planted on, you know, evil here and there, but you just don't know where they originate. But I'm not going to go into those conspiracy theories. So this group of people are behind global trends like population control, okay? Of course, which they, for us here in countries like Uganda, all they have to do is give it funding, okay? And there will be everybody shouting it on the rooftops as long as there is a budget associated to it. But in Europe, I mean, they've destroyed countries. They've destroyed countries. Now, countries like Germany are paying women to give birth because they're having an aging population and a young population that is not there. Because women who are about 40 decided they were not going to give birth. I mean, when they were still at the normal birthing age. So now what happens? You have people who are 50 and above, who are so many, but you don't have young people. So now they are paying people lots of money to what? To give birth. That is true of Sweden as well, and so many other countries that took on these people's messages a bit too enthusiastically. Now stop giving birth. One, even China with their one child policy are now reversing it because they are also suffering. They have the biggest population of people between 90 and 105. Millions and millions of people between 90 and 105 who have to be fed, but who are not of benefit. Now, that would not be a problem, but the problem is that the people who would be feeding them and working are the young population who are not there. Because, why? Because those people who are 90 and 105 were told to have one child, and everything would be a problem if they had one child. Of course, there is mortality and everything. So, anyway, they are behind gender equality, okay, presented in all its facets. Of course, a bit of it is, you know, good, But a lot of it isn't. A lot of it isn't. And of course, so many people just fall for it. Child rights, okay? Children having their rights. They cannot be disciplined by their parents and all this. These are the people behind all of that. Of course, they are behind the homosexuality. They are behind big businesses, the mergers, so that they have as few businesses as possible, controlling the world economy. Okay, so all these mergers, or the mergers of all companies, so that at the end of the day, you have just a handful of companies that are supplying everything, as compared to the competition between all of them. That a competition, of course, that benefits the consumers. They are behind the globalization, they are behind food control, and as well as so many other things. But I'll move on to something else. Now, they work closely with a group of people called the Freemasons. I'm sure you heard about Freemasons. The bulk of the Masonic ritual consists of a degree ceremonies. Freemasons is a kind of secret society, and people are initiated through certain rituals, and they go through degrees. Ceremonies. Candidates for Freemasonry are progressively initiated into the group, the secret group, first in the degree of the entered apprentice, then sometime later in a separate ceremony they are passed on to the degree of the fellow craft. Finally, they will be raised to the degree of the master mason. And in all these ceremonies, the candidate is entrusted with passwords, signs, and grips, peculiar things that almost like a military organization. Only they aren't, and they are a devil worship organization. Okay? Now, that's not what they tell people who are being recruited. I know a friend of mine whom they were trying to recruit. They tell him that if you join us, you'll get a lot of property, you'll become rich, and all these things. Of course, a majority of them are rich. That's the truth. And they use their wealth to recruit. So if you want to go high above, you go and recruit a few people. You tell them that no, you don't. Even Christians can join Freemasons. We accept all religions there. As a matter of fact, by the way, even if the Bilderbergs are largely behind this whole atheism. You know, and that message of atheism, there's no God and everything. And they work with Freemasons. Freemasons will not accept people who are atheists. They will accept you only if you believe in some kind of higher power. But of course, eventually, they will turn that higher power from whichever it is you believe, eventually, to Satan himself. And those who go to a higher degree have to pledge allegiance to Lucifer. Now, of course, they are Freemasons who will listen, be hearing this and say that's not true. Well, they don't know it for now, but that is how it is going to be presented to them if they actually manage to go any further that they actually are. Because it's built on deception. You know, you enter, they tell you this is about, you know, if we have business, of course Freemasons give business to each other and all this. So if you're a professional and you join, so this guy was being told, you can become rich, what do you have? Apart from a nice car and maybe some house, if you want to really be rich and so on. And of course, it's presented in a very enticing way, only that this guy was born again and he actually did not buy it. And, so Freemasons are known to be wealthy. They seek to dominate commerce and property markets. They largely use their wealth to recruit people who similarly want to be wealthy. So they come and present to you this proposal. If you really want to be rich, as in really wealthy, this is what you have to do. And the more people a person recruits, the higher they progress in the hierarchy of the Masons. They go up to the 33rd degree Masonry. And there's only one person in the world who holds that rank. And I'll tell him to you at another time when it is important for me to do so. And they commit part of their wealth to fund their causes, okay? Which are always satanic, but are masked in charity and things like that. So they present themselves as a charitable organizations, but yet in reality they are really backed in Satanism. There was actually a meeting of Freemasons at Munyonyo, and I was speaking to some journalist who was covering it, and he was telling me some of the people there. I mean, amazing. You'd be shocked at the people who, you know, Ugandans. It was an East African meeting of Freemasons. Of course, there were so many wealthy Kenyans as well, but so many rich Ugandan businessmen, people whom you know, so many indigenous businessmen, Indians, top lawyers in this city, all of them Freemasons, ultimately devil worshippers. But That's the reality. Okay, the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. I didn't say that. It's in 1 John 5:19. Okay, now another mystical organization that is closely linked to all the previous ones is the Illuminati. Okay, and all these three work together. By their own admission on their website, the purpose of the Illuminati is to is claimed to be behind the age. Their purpose is claimed to be to introduce a new politics, which they call a replacement of democracy by meritocracy. Now, democracy means everybody has the right to decide how they are governed. That is, well, the basic tenet of democracy, really. So regardless of how rich, poor, uneducated you are or anything, you have a say in the way democracy is practiced. Now, when they say meritocracy, they mean you only get that right by merit. That means you have to have attained a certain degree. So they cut out the lower class, if you will. That's what they want to introduce. And then they say that's one, a new politics. Secondly, a new economics. And they describe it as the replacement of predatory free market capitalism with productive social capitalism. I will not get to the depth of that, but the point is that they want to be in charge of the redistribution, distribution of the wealth. Then, of course, they also want to be in charge. The third thing they state on their own website, of a new religion, the replacement of the old, failed, and false mythos religions by the world's only rational logos religion. Remember, they call what we believe in old, failed, and false, and mythos. Okay, theirs, which is the new age, is a rational logos religion, which they describe as the religion of ontological mathematics that delivers a dialectical metamorphosis via mathematical optimization of all human beings into gods. Now, if you don't understand that, you're not expected to. The point is that the new age philosophy of we are all gods, and there's no superior god. Okay, of course the Bible says we are gods, it says that in the Psalms, but the thing is, they believe there is no superior god. Okay, we are capable of creating, in other words, there is no other god apart from us. That is the new age philosophy, and this is what these people promote. Okay, and they are behind the so-called age of enlightenment. You check it out on Google, the age of enlightenment, an age without god, when people seem to be so enlightened. But the Bible says, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that they profess to be wise and they became fools. That's precisely what they are. Okay, professing to be wise, they became fools. So that attempt by human beings to see themselves as God without a need for a supreme God, of course, is the cardinal belief of the New Age. So also on their own website, one of their generals of these Illuminati admits that it's true that all 12 members of the ruling council of Illuminati, of course, why do they have 12? Because they're trying to replace the Bible thing of, you know, the 12. The 12 sons of Jacob on whom the Old Testament were built, the 12 apostles on whom the New Testament was built. So they're trying to have their own thing. So the 12 ruling council are wealthy, but they say that, but money for us simply funds our mission, nothing else. So they have money, but they are willing to fund the mission. So you ask yourself, where does all this money come from that is promoting all these weird, you know, practices for which money is being thrown around here? Where does it come from? It comes from people like this. And there's a lot of it, by the way. There's a lot of it. And if you're somebody who's shaken by mammon, you're in serious trouble. Because at some stage, everybody has to choose between whom they are going to serve. Are you going to serve the God of this world? Or are you going to serve Jesus Christ? The answer, of course, to that determines your eternity. So, while the Bilderbergs, whom I talked about first, deal in setting a world political and financial policy in this grand agenda of theirs, the Freemasons, who are very, you know, who are property people and what, Freemasonry actually started, dates back to the symbol. The reason they use the symbol of the pyramid is one of the pyramid and the eye between the pyramid. I'm sure you've seen that symbol, a triangle, or really a pyramid with an eye in the middle. It's actually on the United States $1 bill. The reason they use that is because they believe that the people who built the pyramids had superior knowledge. and that knowledge was given them to them by some, well, satanic power, which it actually was. Now, they try to tap into that knowledge, and many of them use it to, you know, do all sorts of things. So, while the Bilderbergs determine the world policy at that higher level, okay, the policy of governments, the policy of financial institutions and banks and all such things, and on bigger things, the Freemasons fund much of that agenda to create a new world order that is devoid of God, and that they and what they call the mythos religion, okay, that the new world order they want is devoid of, you know, mythos religion, which is like Christianity. That's what they want to deal away with. Now, the Illuminati, who seem to be at the bottom of it all, on the other hand, are in charge of disseminating that information to the public. So, for them, they include world celebrities, movie stars who decide what people watch, okay, movie directors, rather, who decide what people watch, and who decide all those agendas. And you see, now the thing is, when people fail to realize how deep movies are into agendas, when I watch a movie, there are so many movies that I watch, and you really see a strong agenda, a theme that wants to make somebody, I mean, that wants to make you, who watches the movie, sympathetic towards something that probably you've been hostile to. I remember Tom Hanks acting in the movie Philadelphia, released in 1996, where he acts as a homosexual, and, you know, he's so badly treated by other people, and you know, he acts so well, of course, and the people who are mistreating him are portrayed as so bad. I mean, okay, the point is that it actually introduced people to sympathize with these people. You know, Bambi, you know, they are like, you know, those things. And it was all a strong, it had a very strong agenda. Now, all these movies actually have agendas, eh? And they have agendas for young children. I look at the cartoons that some of our kids watch these days, and I'm in absolute shock at how many things they are being introduced to. Harry Potter and the School of Witchcraft in London, which actually exists, okay? And which, of course, has, you know, numerous, well, entrants since the popularization of Harry Potter, because people want to do the things that are portrayed in the movie. And the things which are portrayed, and if you do not have a seeing eye, they pass you as normal. But in reality, they are very deep evil, and it's promoting an age of evil. Now, eventually, I told you towards the end, those who belong to God will be doing great exploits. But those who belong to the devil will be also doing very evil, demonic things in the spirit, not in the natural. Okay? Now the children of God have to seek to move in the spirit of God, in the power of the spirit, not just in words. Okay? And Paul says, I do not come to you with the words of human wisdom, but with the demonstration, okay, of the power of the spirit. Because you need that, because those people are going to start doing great evil demonstrations, which can only be countered by people who are equally strong in the power of the Holy Spirit, like Paul says. So, they are creating that general. Harry Potter, now in his 20s, what's he called, Daniel Radcliffe, the guy who acts it, portraying that whole generation now of children who are introduced to, you know, extra powers, somebody has powers. And they actually create anxiety, or curiosity actually is the word I'm looking for. They create curiosity and send children to go and find out how they can get these extra powers, okay? And they end up in witchcraft. A lot of them, by the way. So, these people are the ones. And these guys release this thing. So, Illuminati, in charge of all that, include movie stars, okay? Music stars. Of course, you've heard Jay-Z, okay? Both an Illuminati. And he puts on all the symbolism, a big cross, which is a mockery of the cross that we believe in. But they put on a big cross. And you've seen it with musicians here, even those who do not know what it means, put it on just because they see the big musicians putting it on. However, even some of those here really know what it means, okay? Jay-Z, his wife Beyonce, and all these musicians who young people listen to, Lil Wayne, Justin Bieber, Eminem, and all those rappers, they are just evangelists of the Illuminati message. If you hear the things they talk about, they are totally, you know, they don't deny God. Actually, even if, on the other hand, an arm of them is behind the atheist movement, but here they defy God. They stand there and defy God, defy Jesus Christ, and they say so many, you know, blasphemous things in the music. And of course, the young children hear the music in all the lyrics, and they're shaking their heads, not knowing exactly. I mean, they hear it with all the beats, and they're shaking their heads without necessarily listening to the lyrics. But that has a subliminal effect, that it enters inside them and creates a generation of lawlessness in young children, because they are listening to these words of defiance towards God, basically telling God off, telling Jesus Christ. And all these people who have become world stars are nothing but evangelists of that Illuminati message. So, of course, these people sell their souls in exchange for fame and fortune. And, some of them die young. Many of them actually do die young. So, also, they include professors and lecturers in universities who use their platform to pump atheist or agnostic material into the impressionable minds of their youthful students. That is so clear. I mean, the level of godliness or God hatred at the world's top universities is absolutely alarming. You just have to go to any of those universities, and if you come out still believing in God, then you really were grounded in Him, because every lecturer that comes on the platform is going to be, talking about how silly Christianity is, how silly this belief in God is, and basically throwing in people's minds scientific, crap, really, to try and, take them away from the belief of God. But the thing is, science is an attempt by human beings to understand God's world. But they can only understand it so much. There are things they will never understand, and they don't know, and they will never know. The thing, though, is that they have this whole movement has placed science on the pedestal of God. So if scientists say something, everybody has to believe, because scientists have said, okay? Scientists have said this, scientists have said, and it's all Illuminati people who are on an agenda to promote certain things, okay? What was I talking about? And these people also actually use public campaigns. They use public campaigns. There was a bus campaign in England which shocked even atheists, because buses in England, the way you would see buses advertising a company here, maybe a mobile phone company or advertising a soft drink or something, buses in England were emblazoned with a poster that said, "There is no God, so don't stress yourself, just go and have fun." And that shocked even atheists. Atheists said, "We thought we believed genuinely that there is no God, but who is now going to evangelize this atheist message?" So they said, now we are actually behaving like a religion, even if we say we do not like religion, because it's religious people who go and evangelize. Now for us, we just feel... No, but of course, they have been deceived. That's not what they really... They are part of that mind control thing, throwing messages at them and everything. But the reality is now these people are going all out, telling people, don't stress yourself. There is no God. Just go and have fun. That is all the Illuminati. Now, of course, they include media personalities, even here in Uganda. I wonder, they call themselves free thinkers. One day I attended one of the free thinkers meeting, okay? I was invited. Come and make a case for God. Some people think they are so intelligent, that they are too intelligent to believe in God. And I reached there and I looked at very miserable, lamentable people who are living in a world of make-believe and who think that atheism is some kind of glamour, okay? And it's been presented to them as such. So it's glamorous not to believe in God. So there are guys there who think they are serious corporates who are sit down somewhere and, order for some drinks and discuss how there is no God. If he's not there, why are you discussing him? You discuss him. How can you discuss something that is not there every time? Okay? But the thing is, of course, they live in a make-believe world and it's been presented to them as such. Anyway, some youth in Uganda have actually also been recruited into all this Illuminati thing through the musicians and that. And they're being told it's cool to be an Illuminati. So they use specific symbols. The symbols of Illuminati, they are all over the place. You will see them in music. You will especially see them in music videos where they have a very big subliminal effect to the people who watch them. So they plant them in your subconscious when you don't know. You see those symbols in movies. Every time I watch a movie, there is almost every movie, there's almost a symbol somewhere of one of these, either Freemasonry or Illuminati or something like that. And somehow the cameras stick there along. I was watching the opening ceremony of the 2012 Olympics in London. And man, I have never, it was a celebration of Illuminati propaganda. The opening and closing ceremonies, all full of Illuminati symbolism. Okay, I've talked, You'll also see them in almost all discotheques, even here in Uganda, the discotheques that some of you who are listening still go to. So it's all a move to create a mass exodus away from God and away from traditional Judeo-Christian values and create an era of lawlessness. Now, what I find interesting is that while all these groups, Satanist groups, work together to fulfill the Satanist cause, the children of God spend more time hitting at each other than actually evangelizing the word of God. They spend more time calling each other names and everything. But you know, that is going to stop when a revival is set in place and people understand, as Jesus said, that those who are not against us are for us. Because the people who have been calling each other names and things like that will understand that we can no longer afford to work in a disjointed way. Okay, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11 that he gives he ascended on high and gave gifts to men, and to men some he gave to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers and pastors. Okay, now these ministries are going to be specifically divided. Divided is they are going to become clear cut, because now anybody who feels called decides to call themselves whatever they wish. I'm an apostle, I'm a what. But you see now, in this move of God which is coming now, there is going to be a clear dimension between the ministry of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor. And there is not going to be any confusion. And everybody who is called will know specifically what they have been called to do. And that is your commission as I end right now. Know specifically what you're called to do and go and do it. Not just the ministry, but to whom have you been sent and what is your message. Go and find that out and we work towards preparing the world for the coming of the Lord, which is very soon. If you want to send me an email, the address is ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, or you can go and check me out on Facebook, facebook.com/ugandanwatchman. Good evening.
That was The Watchman with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.